missed that one.
Okay, so we have a next presenter, Martina Agner, and she's a doctoral candidate in the Department of Society, Human Development and Health at the Harvard School of Public Health, and she was going to be talking today about preventing HIV among women of color with severe mental illness, insight from mental health care providers working in our community clinics.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. So we're going to be shifting gears a little bit and look at qualitative findings from a study examining the perceptions and attitudes of mental health care providers towards sex, sexuality, and HIV infection and prevention among women of color with severe mental illness. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. Okay, so at the end of 2006, more than 1 million U.S. individuals were living with HIV/AIDS, with Black and Latino women disproportionately affected. Research of the past 20 years shows that as a group, people with severe mental illness, or SMI, which includes major depression, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder, are at high risk of HIV infection. Researchers have identified a range of sexual and substance use behaviors that place women with SMI at particularly high risk of HIV. These behaviors include treating sex to meet basic needs, inconsistent condom use, and a history of injection drug use, and are shaped by determinants at the individual, interpersonal, and societal level. Despite this need, however, mental health care settings lack routine HIV risk assessment and comprehensive HIV prevention. Given their knowledge of the behavioral issues related to psychiatric illness, mental health care providers are in a unique position to help prevent HIV infection among women with SMI. However, clinicians may face a number of individual, institutional, and societal level barriers to addressing HIV-related concerns with their female patients. So the specific aims of this exploratory qualitative study were to, one, explore mental health care providers' perceptions of and attitudes toward sex, sexuality, and HIV among women with SMI, and two, to identify both practical and cultural considerations for implementing HIV prevention interventions among women of color with SMI. In order to address these specific aims, we conducted in-depth interviews with mental health care providers of diverse personal and professional backgrounds. Our goal in the study was to really obtain rich, detailed information about the perspective and lived experiences of the providers. And we used a modified grounded theory approach to identify broad themes in these data, which I will be reporting today. So in order to be eligible for the study, individuals needed to provide clinical mental health services at one of two community mental health clinics in New York City. Providers were notified of the study at clinical staff meetings and sampled until theoretical saturation. The sample consisted of 12 mental health care providers who ranged in age from 36 to 55, with a mean age of 45. So here you see a little bit of the composition of our sample. So the sample included 7 women, 5 men, and consisted of 5 psychiatrists, 3 nurses, 2 social workers, and 2 psychologists. And as you can see here, the sample was also diverse in terms of race, ethnicity, and language. So in terms of the research setting, the study was conducted at 2 state-run community mental health clinics located in a resource-poor community in New York City that provide outpatient psychiatric services primarily to poor and low-income African-American and Latino patients. So like I said, we conducted in-depth interviews with mental health care providers using a semi-structured interview guide that addressed the topical categories that you can see here. So these included culture, sexuality, HIV, and mental health, women with SMI's access to HIV and other sexual reproductive health services, and the place of sexuality and HIV prevention in clinical mental health treatment, among other issues. So all interviews were audio taped and transcribed verbatim to facilitate analysis, which basically, like I said, employed a modified grounded theory approach that involved coding, memo writing, comparative tables, and study team discussions to identify themes across the interviews. And we paid particularly attention to ensuring internal validity and credibility of our findings by doing some of the things that you, or actually all of the things that you see here. Okay, so using this analytic process, we identified 5 broad themes in the data. One, managing patients' sexual behavior in the clinic, discussing sexual issues in the midst of a whole range of other clinical treatment priorities, maintaining clear provider-patient boundaries while talking about sex, mental health care providers' perceptions of their role in HIV prevention, and last but not least, practical and cultural considerations for HIV prevention interventions among women of color with SMI. So the first theme, managing patients' sexual behavior, we found that mental health care providers really took the responsibility of managing patient sexual behavior inside the clinic very seriously, with the goal of creating a safe environment for all patients. So while there was no formal sexual policy in the clinics, providers used both formal and informal strategies in order to kind of manage and supervise patient sexual behavior. So there was indeed an informal no-touching policy. They also used psychiatric medications to control what they call quote-unquote hypersexual behavior and creating a sense of family and establishing expectations and norms in the clinic. However, in doing so, a number of the providers mentioned that they reported experiencing tension between supervising patients' sexual behavior and respecting their autonomy as human beings, as well as their cultural mores for some of them, which involved physical contact as a form of affection and expression, and sex just being a simple human part of life. So outside of the clinic, however, providers expressed that they felt unable to supervise patients' sexual behavior. However, as case managers, some providers' professional involvement necessarily extended beyond the clinic. We found that some clinicians provided patients with assistance with a whole range of social, economic, legal, and family issues, and some even conducted home visits. So in terms of the second theme, we found that providers were responsible for exploring a range of sexual issues that could place patients at risk of HIV, including childhood and current sexual abuse. However, several factors influence whether and how providers discuss these issues with patients. These factors included providers' disciplinary training, professional experience, and position and role in the clinic, their treatment priorities, which were shaped by both their training and the severity of patients' symptoms, clinicians' own comfort, as well as their perceptions of patients' comfort, discussing sexual issues, and their attitudes, their kind of broader societal attitudes towards sexuality among women with SMI. So here's a quote by a psychiatrist illustrating the role of disciplinary training in shaping provider-patient discussion of sexual issues. So this person said, in a sense, it goes back to my training that you don't introduce issues, period, beyond the salient issues, the nitty-gritty issues of treating the mental illness. Now, any issue is open for discussion. In other words, if a woman shares with me that she has a boyfriend who has been trying to have sex with her and doesn't want to use a condom, I discuss that with her absolutely. And this quote also illustrates another point, which is that providers in our sample expressed being much more comfortable discussing sexual issues when they were framed in a medical context as opposed to a more relational framework. Here you see another illustrative quote by a social worker on the influence of providers' own comfort, and like I said again, their perceptions of patient comfort, and clinical treatment priorities, which I won't read in the interest of time, but you can kind of see some of the highlighted issues here. Okay, so in terms, I have time. Okay, so I'll read the other one. In terms of the third theme, which is basically maintaining clear provider-patient boundaries while talking about sex, providers express that this is very important for them to maintain clear professional boundaries. Otherwise, they said that they ran the risk of offending patients, eliciting potentially negative emotions in a population that has very severe mental illness, and making patients feel uncomfortable during the clinical encounter, which, as you can imagine, they wanted to avoid. So a nurse said, I don't want to be too intrusive, because they don't want to get too involved, too intrusive. So you have to respect that, too. You can't do too much probing. So this kind of shows, again, the tension that a lot of the providers experienced in their work. So in terms of mental health care providers' perceptions of their own role in HIV prevention, several clinicians noted that providing patients with HIV/AIDS information and education was part of their responsibility as clinicians. However, so you see a quote here of somebody who said that they feel like it's kind of their duty as somebody who has the information to let their patients know. However, one provider questioned her ability to be able to change her patients' views about sex, including their, as well as their behaviors. Instead, she kind of viewed herself as a source of alternate or additional information, kind of like a second opinion. So she didn't see that, she didn't see herself as being central in that role. So in terms of the last theme that we explored, clinicians emphasize that HIV prevention intervention should address risk factors at the individual, interpersonal, and societal level. They mentioned psychiatric symptoms, communication with sexual partners, and access to economic resources. Providers' discussion of HIV prevention among women with SMI focused on HIV education, but they did recognize that in order to get kind of meaningful, sustainable behavior change, there would have to be activities, other activities. But in terms of their own role as providers, they saw that that would be kind of the main role that they could play in HIV prevention. So providers had a whole host of recommendations about HIV education sessions for women with SMI. I won't go into too much detail, and hopefully you can kind of see it here, but overall they recommended that they have group sessions to kind of build on the interactional kind of dynamics between patients. They also recommended that they should be regularly scheduled, woman only, and kind of provided a whole range of issues that should be addressed in content. They really stressed the idea of concrete facts and data in order to avoid kind of steering away from kind of the purpose of the session. And really, they said that it should address kind of a whole range of clinical, psychological, social, economic, and cultural risk factors for a population, like I said, that is resource poor and people of women of color. Okay, so in terms of cultural considerations, our data shows that providers identified age, gender, and religion as important culturally informed factors that not only shaped women with SMI's risk of HIV infection, but also affected provider-patient interaction and discussion of sexual and HIV-related issues. One clinician stated that providers should strive to be very sensitive and to work within patients' culture, but others warned against making overgeneralizations based on patients' cultural background. Finally, several providers emphasized that while cultural factors such as age, gender, and religion play an important role in shaping patients' HIV risk, socioeconomic factors are just as, if not more important, and should be addressed in any HIV prevention intervention for women of color with SMI. Okay, so this is a quote just showing the role of religion as perceived by the provider, who in this case is a nurse, affecting provider-patient interaction around condom use. So this shows you how the provider's sense of the patient's religion impacted how this person approached the issue of sexuality with the female patient here. Okay, so in terms of the discussion, we found our findings show that mental health care providers' views on sex, sexuality, and HIV among women with SMI were shaped by disciplinary training, professional experience, role in the clinic, and broader societal norms about mental illness and sexuality. Our findings are in line with those of other studies, which have also identified social, institutional, and individual attitudes as determining whether and how providers discuss sexual issues with patients. To this, our study adds cultural factors such as age, gender, and religion as playing an important role in shaping HIV prevention in mental health care settings, not only kind of the group sessions that I talked about, but also in one-on-one provider patient interactions, which hasn't been really explored. The dimension of culture, race, and ethnicity hasn't really made its way into this literature. So this came out because of our study sample. So we do have a few limitations. The first is that we have a small number of clinicians in two clinical settings. However, we have a broad range of providers of diverse personal and professional backgrounds who held different positions in the clinics. We were also able to get rich contextualized information about their experiences and, like I said, to explore the role of culture in this context. So in conclusion, we had actually started out by thinking about the components of an intervention that we should do to prevent HIV among women of color with SMI. What ended up happening is that our results really showed that interventions that tackle the barriers that mental health care providers face in addressing sexual issues and HIV prevention are both warranted and needed. So these interventions should seek to provide clinicians with comprehensive training on sexuality and HIV in diverse populations. They should also empower providers to implement HIV prevention services in their own clinics. Also, they should seek to implement institutional measures that create both time and space for HIV prevention. And in this particular population, also foster collaboration with other healthcare and social service providers, given that, like I said, these were marginalized women who lacked access to healthcare and other social services. So I first would like to acknowledge Dr. Pamela Collins, who is the principal investigator on this study, for her guidance in completing this project, as well as the other people whose names you see here. And I'd like to thank the participants of this study for sharing their time and experiences and insight with us. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Thank you. Thank you.